Well, turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, there's all kinds of prophetic words that have been spoken about the end times. But on the Mount of Olives, just over 2,000 years ago, with his disciples, while overlooking Jerusalem, the week as Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, Jesus gives what many would consider the clearest and the most detailed end times picture of them all, right here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. Jesus lays out to us what's going to go down and how it's all going to go down. Speaking of the Mount of Olives, I have had the privilege of being to Jerusalem two times, to Israel two times. Here's some pictures. This is the first time that I went. I was with Velvet, and we are actually standing up on the Mount of Olives, overlooking on the other side of the valley is Old Town Jerusalem, where the Temple Mount is. Here's some other pictures. You can see some of the olive trees, and another picture. I tell you what, down there at the bottom of the Mount of Olives is the Garden of Gethsemane, and it is an amazing place to be. A humbling place to be. A place that really just mandates that you just pray and sit and be still before the Lord. But it was in that place, on that Mount of Olives, that Jesus shares this end times revelation as he answers the question of his disciples. And I bet you that's a lot of the questions that we have right now. Jesus, when are you coming back? And when is the end of the age? What's it going to look like? How's it all going to go down? So today we're going to start a line-by-line expository study through the Gospel of the 24th and the 25th chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. And this area of Scripture in most of your Bibles is called Signs of the End Times. It's just a title that's put on that section of Scripture. It's not actually in the Bible. Signs of the End Times. And so as creative as I am, that's what we're going to call this series. Signs of the End Times. I plagiarized straight from the Bible on this one. How about that? That's a good thing to do. Signs of the End Times, that's going to be what our discussion is. That's going to be our focus as we're going through Matthew chapters 24 and 25. How many of you think we live in interesting times? Right? I mean, it's like crazy from our assessment of what's going on in the world right now. But is it really that crazy? I mean, as we look at things, I know a lot of people are thinking that this is the season, this is the time when Jesus is going to return. Many are saying that this is the generation alive today is the generation that is going to be present and see Jesus step back on this earth. Okay, maybe would be my answer to that. Maybe. And I know in our time right now, we think that this is the most apocalyptic, sensational moment in history right now. I mean, we think that. But I want to remind us something as we look into this, that we have a bigger perspective on history, a bigger perspective on the world than the Disneyland reality that we live in right now, than the safe, comfortable reality when there's a little bit of ripple, when there's a pandemic or vaccine mandates, inflation, big tech, censorship, you know, a potential war, which I don't think is going to happen. I think it's a distraction, but that's just my opinion, in Ukraine. Things like this happen, and we get all excited, and we start thinking, surely this is the end of the world as we know it. But I want to go to the Bible. I want to look to see what Jesus has to say about the end of the age, about the end of times, and what's going to lead up to it, and what it's going to really look like, and where are we going to be, and how are we involved, and how are we affected by all of this. Jesus speaks to all of that right here in the Gospel of Matthew. I mean, we don't have to wonder. We don't have to watch YouTube, you know, videos and podcasts and attend seminars and all of this kind of stuff to understand how it's going to all go down. We can actually read the words of Jesus that are given to us right here in Holy Scripture to know. And then we can base our life, our thoughts, our perspective, our interaction on this, rather than what's swirling around and going around at this time. So we're getting closer to the end of the age. There's no doubt about it. From the moment that Jesus ascended to be with the Father in heaven at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, the end of the age began. We entered the last days at that moment. The last days began. And so we are in the last days. And the return of Jesus is going to happen, as we're going to be reminded in Scripture even this morning. Oh, we're going to be reminded of that. Jesus is coming back. When? Today? Tomorrow? Next week? Next year? In 1,000 years? This is what I know. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. As we're studying end times, end of the age, these words of Jesus, this insight that the Messiah actually gives us about all of this, my prayer is that we would be asking ourselves questions more like, how should I be living right now? What should I be focused on? What should be occupying my life, my time, my talent, and treasures? As we're thinking of the end of the age, that this is the kind of thing that would move us, that where we would go. What does this mean? Jesus is coming back. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? These are important questions. And I believe this is why Jesus talked to his disciples about it. They asked him the question. He could have just kind of, you know, skirted it. But man, he goes right into it and gives all kinds of details. Because Jesus wants us to know. He wants us to know. You might be saying, look, I don't really bother with all that end time stuff. I don't bother with thinking about when's he going to come back or how or what it's going to look like or any of that. I just don't think about Jesus coming back, really. I don't think about the end of the age. I just kind of cover my ears and my eyes and go, la, 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 la. I just don't want to think about that. I just want to keep living life and deal with today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I would imagine there'd be many people in the room right now that would even raise their hand. Like, I just don't think about that. It's all going to work out. And I'm here to say, yeah, it's all going to work out. Because God's sovereign plans will happen. You can take it to the bank. It's all going to work out exactly the way God has designed it to work out. There's no doubt about it. But God wants us to know some things. And he wants us to have our minds on the end times, specifically on his return. That's why he talks to his disciples about this. That's why he shares it with us in his word. That's why there's so many prophetic words about end times. Because God does want us to be aware and does want us to have our minds, our hearts set on his return. He wants us to pay attention. God wants us to care. You You know, there's a lot of things in life I don't like to think about. And sometimes, you know, I just do that procrastination thing where I just kind of blow it off, you know, and just kind of like, you know, I don't want to deal with that right now. I don't want to think about that right now. It's just too messy and all this kind of stuff. And so I just kind of do that. But this is not one of those things, church. This is not one of those things that we look at and we go, it's just too complicated. It's just, it's too deep. It's too significant. I'm just going to not think about it. No, this is one of those things that we need to be thinking on and processing. See, if God cares about his end times plans, if Jesus cares enough to give us insight in Holy Scripture, then we need to care. If God cares, then we need to care. And God cared enough to give us this, which is full of insight and direction and truth about the return of Christ and the end of the age. And so we care. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to look at it. My goal in this whole study is to stick with what the Bible says, because there's a lot of other noise out there. There's a lot of things that have been said about end times and the end of the age and the return of Christ and all of this. And let's stick to what we see right here. Title of today's message is Jesus is Coming, Do You Care? Do you care? Jesus is coming, do you care? Well, let's find out. Point number one, Jesus is coming back. Let's go back to verse 3. Matthew 24, verse 3, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So we look at the end of the age, we look at end times, and it's so enticing just to jump right into all the apocalyptic shock and awe. Man, we want to go right to all the signs and the wars and the rumors of wars and all the devastation and all the craziness. Man, that's where we want to go right away. And man, we want to figure out what day, what hour. And like Scripture just said, don't even try to do that. But oh, we're going to figure it out because somehow we're smarter and we're going to get this all right. You know what I'm saying? But we do. We want to jump right into all that apocalyptic stuff. And I want to say the main message in any end times, end of the age, second coming of Jesus, the main message, the main point is that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Our hope is not built on decoding current news cycles. Our hope is built on Jesus and nothing else. And as we look at the end times, as we study the end times, we're not here to decode the news cycle and decode what's going on here and there and who's saying what and oh, if this person's going to be this or that person's going to be that and this means this and this means this and that. No. Because that's not our hope. So that's not our focus. Oh, we'll look at some of those things. We'll be aware. We'll be wise. But our hope and our focus is on Jesus. Jesus. For in just a little while, it says in Hebrews 10:37, in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Jesus is coming back. I mean, I should see more smiles on faces right now, by the way, after that. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. 1 Peter 5:4. And when, not if, and when the chief shepherd appears, speaking of his return, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Jesus is coming back. This isn't a fable. This is a fact. And here's the question now. Is this affecting your life today? Is this fact that Jesus is coming back when he appears, when he comes, is this affecting how you live your life today? Is it affecting the decisions that you are making today? Is it affecting how you're spending your time, what you're thinking about, how you're talking with other people, how you're interacting, how you're using your talent and the strength and the smarts that the Lord gave you? Is that fact driving your life in any way? Because I thought about this. If it's not, then maybe the return of Jesus really is just a fable in our minds. Because something that amazing, a fact that important, would affect every aspect of our being, of how we live. Jesus is coming back. So as we're studying end times, as we're looking at Christian eschatology, it should produce this awe-inducing adoration of Jesus. That's where our focus should go. Even as we dive into some of the details and some of the wars and rumors of wars and all of that stuff, it should always push us right back to going, Jesus is coming back. And Jesus is coming back. Oh, yeah, and Jesus is coming back. You know the book of Revelation? Do you know that it's the revelation of Jesus? It's not the revelation of the apocalypse. It's not the revelation of the Antichrist. But man, why is it that everybody reads the book of Revelation looking for the Antichrist instead of looking for Jesus? Everybody really reads the book of Revelation looking for the apocalypse, right? I mean, all this kind of stuff. I don't get it, man. It's the revelation of Jesus. And so anytime we're thinking of end times, anytime we're thinking of the end of the age, man, it should drive us to think of Jesus. Jesus. I don't want to spend my time looking for the Antichrist. I want to spend my days looking and spending time with and hearing the voice of and following Jesus. Jesus. Here's a prophetic picture of the day that Jesus returns. It's from Joel chapter 2, verse 31. It says, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Jesus is coming back. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a dreadful day. Will the return of Jesus be a great day for you? Or will it be a dreadful day? You're like, Pastor, this is getting heavy. Yeah, because this is the Bible. This is the heart of God. This isn't Disneyland. I just want you to tell me how to have a better life right now. Jesus is. Know that he's coming back. Know him. So Scripture's clear. When Jesus returns, it's not going to be secretive, by the way. It's going to be rather dramatic. That's an understatement. It's going to be rather dramatic. It's going to be awesome. And it's going to be terrifying. As he ushers in, as he brings in the end of the age. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And it's going to be terrifying. You know, I was thinking this morning, even as I was just looking at my notes, and I was thinking, you know what? If your life is invested in this age, if your life is invested in this age, then the end of the age is going to hurt. You're going to lose a lot. You hear what I'm saying? You're going to go broke is what I'm saying. I'm not talking money and all that. I'm talking like all the marbles type thing, our lives, right? If you're invested, if your life is invested in this age, then the end of the age is going to be a time of loss, a terrifying time, a dreadful time. But if your life, if your hope is in the age to come, is in Jesus, if that's where you're invested now, it's going to be a great day. It's going to be a great day. Let's go back to Matthew 24, 3. So again, as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this all happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the other thing they wanted to know and the end of the age? What will be the sign, first of all, that you're coming back? Notice, these disciples, the most important thing, the first thing that they asked was, when are you coming back? How are we going to know you're coming back? Again, just going back to that point that I was making. What's first on our mind? The shock and awe, all that stuff, or Jesus? For these disciples, it's Jesus, right? So what will be the sign that you're coming back, and what will be the signs of the end of the age? So point number two, the end of the age. The phrase end of the age. What does that mean? Basically, it's referring to the end of the world as we know it. When I was in college, I listened to a band called REM. I don't know. I couldn't get it out of my head. It's the end of the world as we know it. Anyway. But I feel fine, and I feel fine. They say that. I can actually say that, you know, with confidence because I feel fine. It's the end of the world. I feel fine. I know Jesus. All right. Everything is good. Everything is good. But specifically, what is the end of the age? The end of the age is the end of the world governments as we know them. Scripture speaks of that. It's the end of kings and presidents ruling and making the decisions. The end of the age is when this age ceases and the kingdom of God comes and rules. The end of the age. Now, here's a passage of Scripture that we're used to diving into around Christmas season, okay? And it's from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And it's a prophetic word speaking of Christ coming. And it says, For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And then it prophetically speaks this about Christ. And the government will be on his shoulders. The government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So at the end of the age, the government, it's been prophetically spoken here, the government will rest on his shoulders. It affirms his lordship. The government will rest on the shoulders of Jesus at the end of the age. This verse is looking forward. It's a prophetic verse looking forward to Jesus coming and establishing his kingdom on this earth. Christ will reign, literally, earthly, geopolitically. Jesus will be in charge. Everything will be under his leadership, all the governments of the world. That's spoken of in Daniel a couple times, prophesied of. In that day, every single government will rest on his shoulders. And that's a good day. How many of you want that day to come? I'm ready for that to come. I don't know. There's not one single government that I'm really that excited about. Any that has been and any that could be. I'm just not that excited. I don't have that much confidence right now in man-made government and all their social programs and plans and all their smarts and what they're going to do and how they're going to fix everything and make everybody, you know, live in this kumbaya world as they're tearing everybody apart. But there's a day coming. It's called the end of the age. When Jesus returns and he takes control, the whole earth under his leadership. And that's a good day. The Apostle Paul makes this statement referencing the end of the age. It's found in Ephesians 1, beginning of verse 9. It says, and God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. Isn't that great? He wants us to know the mystery of his will. It's his good pleasure for us to know these things. Not to walk around wondering. Do you want to know how you know them? You read. you seek. If we seek, we will find. It's his good pleasure that we would know which he purposed in Christ. To be put into effect when? When the times will have reached their fulfillment. To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ, Ephesians 1:9-10. Jesus is in charge. This we know about the end of the age. Jesus is in charge. He brings the supernatural realm together with the physical realm, and he's in charge. I'm going to go to the book of Revelation. It's getting dangerous in here. Come on now. Revelation 20, get more insight at the end of the age. Check this out. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven. This is verse 1, Revelation 20. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. And what did he do? What did this angel do? He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. We're getting a picture of the end of the age here. He bound Satan for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss. He locked and sealed it over to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. So when Jesus returns, what happens? Satan is locked up. He's powerless for 1,000 years. Why? Because Jesus has come and he's taken back the earth. He's coming to rule. He's not going to share his rulership, his leadership with Satan. It's not going to happen. All right. I made up this little tune. We're talking about serious stuff, but every once in a while, you kind of learn how I work. I kind of bounce all around a little bit in my head as I'm looking at things. And so, we're looking at this whole new world, right? This is a whole new world. Jesus is not going to share his leadership with anything else. So when I think of a whole new world, what do? I start singing, a whole new world, right? I mean, come on. It's like I'm just wired that way. Be careful, little ears, what you listen to. Be careful what songs you listen to when you're growing up, okay? Because it gets in there, and then it comes out. And so I rewrote this song, though, okay, to make it biblically accurate. And it goes like this, a whole new world, a fantastic point of view, a whole new world, Satan gets squashed for messing with you. Jesus comes back, the angel comes and he locks Satan up for 1,000 years. Amen? All right. Some of you, that's the only thing you're going to remember this morning. But I'll take it. That's good. So, Satan locked up for 1,000 years. Jesus in charge. No more left wing, right wing politicians, you know, broken men and women leading and governing this world. It's not happening any longer. The perfect one has come. He is large. He is in charge. It's a whole new world. Satan is locked up. All I do is I look at this and I think, the mercy of God is incredible. It's a picture to me of God's mercy. He didn't come. Look, Scripture says he's not coming and just totally, okay, that's it. He's coming and for 1,000 years, he's in charge. Satan isn't able to wander around and mess with people. People will have this opportunity, this amazing opportunity to repent without Satan's evil distractions and involvement. Think about that. 1,000 years of this. God is so good, but then we read Scripture and it says, but many don't take advantage of that amazing grace and that amazing mercy. So this 1,000 years that Jesus reigns is called the millennial kingdom reign. And interestingly enough, as you look at the Olivet Discourse, which is what this text here in Matthew 24 is often called because he spoke it on the Mount of Olives, the Olivet Discourse. It appears to be somewhat of a summary described in Revelation 6 through 19 leading up to the millennial kingdom reign. It's really quite fascinating. So again, why is Jesus telling us about this end time stuff? I believe it's because, point number three, the church has a role. The church has a role. And rest assured, we're going to get into, you know, verses 4 and on here next week. The shock and awe is going to come. The wars and rumors of wars are going to come. The deceit, deception, all that stuff is going to come. We're going to talk about all that. We're going to process all that kind of stuff. But right now, I really want us to be very secure and understand the main point is Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. But also, as we study this, I want us to also have that perspective that we have a role in this. As we're studying this, I want us to look, where are we in the midst of all this? As the end of the age is coming closer and closer, where are we? Are we here? Are we there? What are we doing? What are we called to do? What are we supposed to be doing? Jesus talks about all this. In Revelation chapter 20, it says, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge, most likely referring to believers in that case. And I saw the souls of those who'd been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life. In other words, they received their resurrection. They received their glorified, imperishable bodies at that time. This is when the resurrection happens here. And they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Sounds familiar. Millennial kingdom reign of Jesus, reigning with Jesus on this earth 1,000 years. And then it says the rest of the dead, those not in Christ, in other words, did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. But they, the resurrected believers, will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So there are believers, resurrected believers, who are going to reign with Jesus on this earth during this 1,000-year millennial kingdom reign. The resurrected church plays an amazing role in the end of the age and end times. That kind of gets you a little bit excited? Gets me a little bit excited. The saints, they reign with Jesus. They participate in rolling out the kingdom of God. They're priests of God and with Christ, as Scripture says. That's incredible. We're not just on the sidelines. We're not just watching a movie. You know, we live in this age where we just like to watch things happen. Let's watch it happen. There's a couple football games going to be on today. Let's just watch other people go out and make history. We don't have to do that. The church isn't going to just watch Jesus make history, although we will watch. But we're actually part of it. And I want to say this also. We're part of it right now. Do you realize we're salt and light? We're ambassadors. We're a royal priesthood right now. We're not called to just watch history unfold before us. We're called to make history, to be part of what God is doing. When you wake up in the morning, do you think about that? I'm not just going out to make widgets. There's something a lot bigger right now that I get to be part of. God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. That's amazing. That's something to get up for. But I want to go back to the main thing as we close. Jesus is coming back. Again, that was the first question that the disciples asked. So when are you coming back? When are you returning? We're just touching the surface of this study right now. But this is the main thing. Jesus is coming back. It says in Revelation 22, look, and this is the words of Jesus. If you got a red letter Bible, these are in red. All right? Jesus says, look, I am coming soon! Exclamation point. Look, I'm coming soon. Are you aware of that? Are you living that way? Are you thinking that way? Where's your mind right now? Where's your heart? Where's your motivation? Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. What? Yeah. It's in the Bible. It's the words of Jesus, okay? It doesn't matter what I do. I said a prayer, I raised my hand. That's all that matters. I think Jesus just blew that up. I'm sorry. I wish I could go in more detail on that one right now. I'm probably just freaking some people out. But anyway, my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they've done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And then Jesus says, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And what's the response to that? Verse 17 says, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride being the church. How do we respond? We say, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come. And let those who hear this say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes to take the free gift of water of life, the free gift of salvation in Christ Jesus, let them come. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add that person the plagues described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this scroll. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says what? Yes, I am coming. Does Jesus want us to know that he's coming? Is it important that we are living life, that we're like processing life, making decisions based on this truth, that Jesus is coming? I think it's pretty important. Let's stand up. Next week, we're going to be talking about the signs that we should expect to see as Jesus prepares to come back. But you know what? This week, I usually say read ahead. You can read ahead. It's always good. Read it all, okay? But my prayer and my encouragement is this week, church, may our focus be on Jesus. May we not just jump right into the signs, into the chaos. Let's press into Jesus this week. Let's sit before him. Let's glorify him. Let's lift up his name. Let's share him with others this week. Because he's our hope. He's our hope. He's our great expectation. He's our deep desire. He's all we live for. All we breathe for is Jesus. Lord, we come to you right now as your people, and we fix our eyes on you. God, your plans are so good, so marvelous. And yeah, at times it's hard for us to understand. But God, we know you. And we know that you are perfect. And that you are good. And that you are just. That you're full of grace and mercy. And we trust you. And we long for you, Jesus, to come back and to finish what you started. Making all things new, as it says in Revelation 21. All things new. Bringing in your millennial kingdom reign. The government on your shoulders. And then ushering in the eternal age. God, how exciting. And Lord, I pray even right now, if there's anybody in this room, anybody listening, even right now, Lord, that doesn't know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, that has not been brought out of death into life, that's not experienced the power of salvation through you, Jesus, that today would be the day of salvation. God, I thank you that even though we've all sinned, we all have fallen short, that your grace saves us. That your work, Jesus, on the cross saves us. It redeems us. We are born again in you, our Messiah, our Savior, and our Lord.